grateful for your service, for sure. All right, so let's go ahead and open up God's word to Exodus chapter 5, second book of the Bible. We've been studying through Exodus now for a few weeks. We're going to continue our study there this morning. Let me pray, and we'll read a few verses, and then we'll take a look at them. Well, Lord Jesus, as I do every Sunday, I have to kind of stop and collect my thoughts and just let out a little bit of air, Lord, because this is a precious time for us. Every Sunday we come to your word. We are a Bible church. We believe in your word. We believe in every verse, every jot and tittle, Lord, has come from you. And therefore, it is a sacred thing to come on Sunday mornings and to open up your word and to see how you're going to speak to us. And so we're in anticipation this morning, Lord, to see how you're going to speak to us through the power of your spirit. I pray, Father, for your people's attention, that their hearts and minds are also focused on your word. Father, help me to be a willing vessel. It's all I desire to be, Lord, is a vessel that you might speak through me, that you might get the glory. So, Lord, thank you for your word and for what it's going to teach us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Exodus chapter 5. I'm actually going to start a few verses before that in chapter 4, verse 29. So hear the word of the Lord. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord has spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and he had looked on their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." Well, amen for his word.
Amen.
And hallelujah, we've come to our point in our study where Moses now has arrived at the moment for which he has been born. He's been born for this moment to go to Pharaoh and demand that he let the children of Israel go. If you've been with us during our study in the book of Exodus, you know it's been a long and bumpy road for Moses. He was a man who had been on top of the world. He had everything that the world had to offer, and he lost it all. He had gone from a future king to a fugitive, having everything in the world and then having to spend the last 40 years as a lowly shepherd tending his father-in-law's sheep in a foreign land out in the middle of nowhere. Moses was a riches to rags kind of story. And I can only imagine as Moses was out there in the back of the desert tending to those miserable sheep, he must have wondered at some point, is this my lot in life? Is this all I have? Does God have anything else for me to do? As I was driving along Meadow Street this week, I noticed out in front of Crosstown Motors, they have a cafe sign there. And it's an advertisement. They're looking for new technicians. I guess that's the word they use now for mechanics. Technicians. Roger, I'm going to start calling you a technician now. Anyway, they're looking for technicians. And on part of the cafe sign, they have this question. And the question is, are you reaching your potential? Are you reaching your potential? And so I thought about that this week as far as the church is concerned and the life of a Christian. And we could ask that question to each one of us this morning. Are we reaching our potential when it comes to spiritual things, to being a Christian, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are we reaching our potential? Are you happy and satisfied being out in the desert? Or are you wondering, you know, is this all that God has for me? Is this my lot in life? I believe Moses thought about that, and now look at where he is. He's standing before the most powerful man in the world and demanding that he let God's people go. We've noticed in our study at this point that Christianity is a partnership. It's a partnership that God has entered into with his followers, with his believers, with his disciples. He's asked us to do his work, to live up to our potential, and to do what he's asked us to do. And so we know from our study that he gathered Moses out of the desert. He spoke to him through the burning bush. And we should go back and just take a look at it, because we've jumped ahead a little bit this morning. But in chapter 3, verse 10, out of that burning bush, God spoke to Moses, and he says to Moses, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." That was the purpose for which God called Moses. That's the purpose for which he was born. And now at 80 years old, Moses is 80 years old at this point. God is calling him to fulfill his purpose, to reach his potential. And we know through our study what happens. Moses has some misgivings about that, doesn't he? Moses says to God, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" He's wondering if he's worthy enough to go. Does he have the capabilities to go to Pharaoh and do what God's asked him to do? And you know what God says to Moses? He says, "I'm going to go with you. Don't worry about who you are. I'm everything you need."
Amen.
He says, "I'm going to go with you." And then Moses says, secondly, he says, "Well, what if I go and the people of Israel, they don't believe that you sent me?" And what did God say to that? He said, "Moses, I'll give you some signs and wonders to do so that when you go to the people, they'll see these signs and wonders and they will believe that indeed I have sent you to them." And so he says, "Take your staff and throw it on the ground and it'll become a serpent. And then just pick up the tail of the serpent. It'll turn back to a staff and surely the people will believe that I sent you." He says, "If that doesn't work, just stick your hand in your cloak. Pull it out and it'll be leprous. Put it back in, pull it back out, and it'll be restored." He says, "If that doesn't work, then take some water from the Nile River and pour it on the ground and it'll turn to blood. And surely the people will believe that I sent you." And so God says they will believe. And then the third misgiving that Moses had was that he seemed to have some kind of speech impediment. Yeah, I had a little bit of speech impediment right there, didn't I? That was a God thing for sure. But he had some kind of speech impediment. And so he didn't think that he would be able to go to Pharaoh and deliver the message that God had for him. And so in an interesting thing that happens there in chapter 4 of Exodus, God says, "Well, okay, you know, you don't feel like you can go and speak to Pharaoh." He says, "I'm going to provide for you your brother Aaron." Aaron's 3 years older than Moses. So we have these two men, Aaron, 83 years old, and Moses, 80 years old. And they go to Pharaoh together. And there in chapter 4, if you have your Bible open in verse 14, God says, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people. He himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And so God is teaming up now, Moses with his brother Aaron. Moses is going to be able to go to the people and do the signs and wonders that God has given him and empowered him to do. And then Aaron's going to be his mouthpiece. And so in verse 19 of chapter 4, the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead." And so Moses and Aaron pick up and they head to Egypt. And when they get to Egypt, their first task is to what? Their first task is to make sure that the children of Israel believe that indeed God has sent them to them. And so in the verses that I read to you as we opened up this message this morning, in verse 29, it says, "Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel." And so apparently as the nation of Israel was living in Egypt, they had developed some kind of leadership, and there was elders over certain parts of the people. And so the first thing Moses and Aaron do is that they gathered the leaders and they said, "Let's have a meeting." And so the elders gather together with Moses and Aaron. And in verse 30, it says that Moses did all of the signs that God had given to him in front of the people. Maybe he threw the staff down and became a serpent, and he picked it back up and it became a staff again. He did those signs, it says there in verse 30, in the sight of the people, that they might believe. And then it says that Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. So Aaron's the mouthpiece, and he's telling these elders what God had told Moses about bringing them out of Egypt. That's why they were there, to deliver them from their bondage and their affliction. And so what happened at this meeting in verse 31, it says, so the people believed. Because of the signs and because of what Aaron shared with them, the people believed that indeed Moses and Aaron were there because God had sent them. They were there to bring them out of their bondage and bring them out of Egypt. And as a result, it says there at the end of verse 31 that they bowed their heads and they worshiped. And so everything's going according to plan for Moses and Aaron. They've arrived. They've told the people what's happening. The people have believed, and they have this wonderful time of fellowship and worship. Well, with their first task accomplished, their next task then is to go and visit Pharaoh. And this is what verse 1 says of chapter 5. So afterward, after that meeting with the elders, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." Now I know that's only one verse, but we've got to stop and we've got to take a look at it, because there's a whole lot contained in this verse. You can see from this verse, the obvious focus of it is what Moses and Aaron told Pharaoh. "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." But my question regarding this verse is, how did they get in to see Pharaoh? How did they get there? I mean, they weren't anybody of any standing, right? They weren't Egyptian officials. They weren't ambassadors from other nations that might have an opportunity to go and face Pharaoh, this mighty man, the greatest nation on the face of the earth at that point. Moses and Aaron weren't even Egyptians. They were Hebrews. And as Hebrews, they were despised by the Egyptians. We've studied that Moses was a shepherd, and the Egyptians thought shepherds were an abomination. So we must ask ourselves, then, how did they get in front of Pharaoh in the first place? Was it just good luck? Did they just arrive at the right time? Oh, yeah, you can go in. No. The only reason is what? We have a good, good God.
Amen.
Not good luck. God had told Moses, I'm going to go with you through this. And so he's the one that has prepared the way for them to go in and be with Pharaoh. And so my point is, friends, if God calls us to do something, and if we're reaching out to fulfill our potential, then he's going to go with us. And that means he's going to open up doors for us. Doors that would otherwise be shut tight, he's going to open them up. I had the opportunity this week to witness a brother opening his locked apartment door using only a credit card. It's a skill he learned and often used during his former life out on the streets. He told me what took him a few minutes to do this week used to take him only a few seconds in his former life. Just using a credit card, in and out, boom. The door would be open. But you see, God doesn't need credit cards, does he? He doesn't need credit cards to open doors. All he has to do is move on the minds and hearts of men, and doors are opened. And this is what happens with Moses and Aaron. As they go to face Pharaoh, God opens the door and they went in. And that's the second point that we need to get from this verse. When God opens a door for you, then you've got to go through it. You can't just stand there. You've got to go through it. And I was thinking about this week. I can only imagine what must have been going through Moses' mind as he was being ushered in before Pharaoh. The emotions that must have been going through his body, racing through his body as he's going now to face this maniacal, powerful leader, knowing that he's going to demand something from him that's just going to throw him into a rage. It must have taken incredible courage and faith to do that. And so the point for us this morning is, whenever God opens a door for us, we need to walk through it, and we need to walk through it with courage and faith. Because God's going to ask us to do some things that are not going to be easy. If Aaron and Michelle were here this morning, they'd be able to testify or witness to you that when God reached out to me in Arizona and asked me to become one of his servants, to become a pastor on his behalf, he opened the door to this place. And as I look back on it, and you could talk to Aaron and Michelle about it, it's clearly God opening the door. Because as I looked at Crossroads and I started talking to people here, I realized that they had a lot of people looking to take this position. And they were more educated than I was. They had much more experience than I had being a pastor. And yet God was with me. And he opened this door, and only this door. And out of all of the applicants, they asked Cynthia and I to come and to meet with them, and they only asked one other couple, and God was with us. The door was open. What was Cynthia and I to do?
Walk in.
You want to come up, Pastor Don, help me out here? We had to go through the door. And it took a little bit of courage and faith because we were leaving everything we had in Arizona. We were pulling up everything that we had and coming here. And so that's the way it is, my friends, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ. God's going to open up some doors for you. You've got to go through them, and you've got to go through them with courage and faith. And he's going to be with you as you do that. But the problem is, many of us, God will open up the door and we'll just stand there. It's the courage and the faith that scares us. We like just being comfortable in the life that we're living. We'll come to church, we'll worship, we'll go home, we'll come to church, we'll worship. And all the while, we may be missing the opening of the doors that God's doing in your life. Because you don't want the conflict. You like being comfortable. I'm sure Moses and Aaron are anything but comfortable at this point in their life. And so they went in. And notice in that verse that it says, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel." We've talked about this in our study, but notice it's the Lord God. They're representing the Lord God. They're not representing some god, little g, the god of agriculture, or the god of the waters, or the sun god. They're representing the Lord God. And as we've looked at that, we've learned that that is the creator God of all there is, the sustainer of the world and all of the functions of the world, the one who created us out of the clay of the ground and breathed into us life. That is who they're representing. They're representing the God who works in the affairs of men and in the affairs of kingdoms. And they're representing that God. And they say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And you know what happens, friends, when God opens a door and you go through with courage and faith? Then you've got to be the voice of God. What if Moses and Aaron just walked in front of Pharaoh? I know that's kind of foolish. But God opens doors and we walk through, and then we don't say anything. They spoke the words of God. They became the voice of God. And we've got to do the same thing. It's one thing to live a lifestyle that honors God and represents Jesus in a magnificent way, but there's going to come a time when you've got to be the voice of God. And again, it'll take courage and it'll take faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:14, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" How shall they hear if you're not going to be the voice of God? However, if you take the opportunity to be the voice of God, then they'll hear. And when they hear, they might believe. And when they believe, then they'll be fulfilling the call that God has in their life. But it all comes from having the courage and the faith to be the voice of God. Well, what was Pharaoh's response? "Hey, no problem. When do you want to go?" No, that's not what he said, right? Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." Everything up to this point in Moses and Aaron's life has gone just as planned. They've met with the elders of the children of Israel, and they believed and they worshiped, and everything was good. And so Moses must have left that meeting uplifted and a little confident. And he gets into Pharaoh and he sees everything working. God's opened up the doors. He's gone through. He's exercising courage and faith. He says, "Let my people go." He becomes the voice of God. And what happens? All of a sudden, he runs into all kinds of opposition. Pharaoh says, "No way. I'm going to let them go." Well, the point should be clear to us. When God's men and women go to work for him as his servants and are willing to be the voice of God, they're going to encounter opposition from the world. That's just the way it is. Rather than finding instant blessing and peace, Moses and Aaron find conflict. If you read about the early church in the book of Acts, just go through that and reread that and just see the opposition that the early church encountered as they went out to be the voice of God. One day, Pastor Dave Thompson went onto his computer and he looked at his inbox and he noticed he had two new emails. And this is what he says when he opened up the emails. He said, "I opened up the first one and it was a wonderful, encouraging letter that expressed gratitude for our church's website. The person writing the letter said that they loved our approach to the Word of God and that they were listening to the Bible book studies and doctrines and growing. As I read this letter, my spirit soared. When I completed reading the first email, I opened the second one. This email was from a disgruntled person who did not like our approach to Scripture. In fact, this person actually contacted our website carrier and said that they should no longer let us be on their network. This individual was mad because we dared take doctrinal stands that did not square with his position. So within the span of a few minutes, because of our approach to God's word, we go from a high to a low, from praise to protest, from positive to a negative. That's the way it always works in the true work of God. When it comes to obeying God's word and doing God's will, we may be sure that one minute there may be great exhilaration and the next minute great humiliation. In the work of God, you can go from being very high to be very low. Someone can praise you one minute and someone else can demean you the next minute. And that is the lesson Moses is about to learn right here." You see, many Christians think that when they're serving God, everything's going to be a wonderful blessing. Serving the Lord is just going to be a sweet life where everything goes right. After all, we're seeking first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness. So why wouldn't everything go just the way we had hoped? Won't God bless us because we're doing his work? Well, that really depends on how you define blessing. If you define blessing as hardships and many sleepless nights and daily pressure and weaknesses and criticisms and insults and all of those kind of things, then yeah, you'll be blessed. But if you define blessing as everyone loving you and loving what you're doing and no one ever criticizing you and everything always going well in your life and ministry, then no, you're not going to be blessed. I was reminded this week of the apostles and the early church. And as I mentioned, you know, they started going out into the community and they started going out into the temple and they started preaching the word of God and telling people about Jesus. And what happened? They got arrested almost immediately. And then the angel of the Lord freed them and the angel said, go back to the temple and do what you were doing. They go back again and they get absconded again and they're brought before the council. And the council says, "We told you not to do that." And they commanded them not to do that anymore. And then they beat them just to make sure they got the point. And you know what it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 41 after that? It says, "So they," the apostles, "departed from the presence of the council after being beaten, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name." You see, that's blessing. It's hard for us to think about that, isn't it? That's blessing. Suffering for Jesus' name. And so the fact is, my friends, when you begin to serve Jesus and be his voice, you've joined the infantry. And as such, people are going to start taking shots at you. And you're going to run into conflict and you're going to run into opposition, just as Moses and Aaron ran into conflict and opposition with Pharaoh. We must understand that the Egyptian Pharaoh considered himself more than just a king. He actually considered himself as a god. and he expected to be treated like a god. And so now here are these two men of no repute standing before him and telling him to obey a god that he doesn't even know. And he considers himself a god, and so there's no way that he's going to obey the Lord God of Israel. Because if he did, he'd be acknowledging that there's a God greater than himself. And so let me just remind you that Egypt is viewed by biblical scholars as a type or picture of the world. And when I use the term world, I'm not referring to this planet Earth. When I say Egypt is a type of the world, I'm referring to that unseen spiritual system of this present age, which is man-centered and Satan-directed. Man-centered and Satan-directed. It's this worldly system that the Bible says is hostile to God and to God's people. It's this man-centered, Satan-directed worldly system which promotes self-glory, self-fulfillment, self-indulgence, and every other form of self-serving that you can think of. And it all amounts to being an enemy of God. James 4:4 says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And so we have this spiritual picture then of Egypt being the world and Pharaoh being Satan. You understand that? You see that picture? And what happens then? They come up against or in opposition to God and God's servants. That's the way it is. And so the conflict highlighted here in chapter 5 between Moses and Pharaoh, although it's real and it's historical, it goes much deeper in a spiritual sense. It's ultimately a conflict between good and evil, light and darkness, the power of Satan versus the power of God. And this is the state of the spiritual world in which we find ourselves today. It is no different. The spiritual conflict that Moses and Aaron encountered as they went to Pharaoh is the same spiritual conflict that we experience in our lives. Amen. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, Tim read it to us this morning. The Word of God says to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with one another. You're not my enemy. I'm not your enemy. What we do wrestle against, the Bible says, is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's our enemy. That's an example of the world. Man-centered, Satan-directed. The wiles of the devil. And so because we live in this man-centered, Satan-directed, worldly spiritual system, there are people out there that we are going to encounter who are their own little pharaohs. They think they are the god of their universe. They are self-serving, self-indulgent, prideful. They don't know our God. Therefore, they're not going to obey the voice of God. They are their own little Pharaoh, and they have their own little world. And so, who are we called to be then? As God's servants, as those who are speaking the word of God to them, to be the voice of God. Who are we then to be like? Well, instead of being man-centered, we are called to be others-centered. And rather than being Satan-directed, we are called to be God-directed. We are called to be totally different than the world. other-centered, God-directed. So are you reaching your potential spiritually this morning with God? Are you finding yourself still in the desert? Or has God called you out of the desert and told you to go? Go somewhere. Do this. Has he opened some doors for you? And what are you doing? Are you standing there? Are you walking through with courage and faith? And then are you willing to be the voice of God when God opens those doors? The Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're thinking this morning that this is your lot in life, then I would say, no, it is not. Your lot in life is not to remain in the desert. Your lot in life is to open yourself up so that God might call you into service for him. Christianity is a partnership. Are you in partnership with the Lord your God this morning?
Amen.
One last thought before I close up. Pharaoh made a decision when Moses and Aaron came to him. Pharaoh made a decision not to obey the voice of the Lord. Little did he know that when he made that one decision, it would have tragic circumstances or consequences, not only for his own life, but the life of his family and the life of his nation. Little do we realize sometimes how one decision can change the whole course of our life. Sometimes even for eternity. Jesus said, the thief, referring to Satan, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy your life. That's his purpose. To kill and to steal and to destroy your life. Jesus said, on the other hand, I have come that you may have life and that you may have an abundance to your life. Jesus also said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the voice of God, maybe to you this morning, maybe to you who are watching us online this morning. Jesus says to you this morning, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you abundant life. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to obey the voice of God this morning, or are you going to disobey the voice of God this morning? If you disobey the voice of God, then be prepared for the consequences. They could be tragic. They could be eternal. The warfare that we see going on here with Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh is the same warfare we see going on in the world around us. And the warfare is for the souls of men and women. Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. Let me close in prayer for us. Father, what an amazing voice you've spoken to us through this morning. Powerful and strong and truthful voice you've given to us. Father, I pray for those this morning who wonder if this is the only lot they have in life, to kind of wander around in the desert. I pray for them, Lord, that you would come to them in a very clear and precise way and speak to them and to call them out of the desert and to call them into service. And Father, when they hear your voice, that they would be willing to go. As you open the doors, that they'd be willing to step through those doors in courage and in faith, knowing that there's probably going to be some opposition, but that they would go anyway. And Father, I pray for anybody here this morning, or anybody listening to us online or watching us online this morning, that you've been speaking to their heart this morning, Lord, that they would heed your voice and obey it and find life. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and stand, please. Last song.
So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like this.